right, handouts are going around. Thanks to Pastor Heimbaugh, we should have enough. While everybody's still funneling in, we'll go ahead and get started. Let's go ahead and start with prayer. Father, we know any time that we choose to go up against Satan, it is a battle. It is a severe battle, and it's one that he does not ignore. So we're thankful that you give us the wherewithal in your word to give us the ability to recognize that you're the one that fights for us. Thankful for the ability to depend on you, to see him defeated, and see our adversary put down. Pray that that'll be the case at the end result of this lecture series, that folks will leave here educated to be able to do that very thing with the Gnosticism, which is so prevalent in our everyday world. Well, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Don't panic when you see how thick this is. First of all, we're not covering all of this. This is mostly for you to take home. There's no way to cover the extent of this in an hour, or in this case, the 54 minutes. Ye shall be as gods. That title is purposeful. The King James is the one that uses ye there, the plurality of that. We'll cover that a little bit. Exposing the lies of the garden, the errors of martial arts, and oriental medicine. Now, the key there is the fact that it says martial arts and oriental medicine. They are intimately linked. A true martial artist studies both, and a true oriental medical professional studies both equally. Anyone who does not is not a true martial artist or is not a true oriental medical professional. So say that at the get-go. What we're going to do is whatever time that we have, we're going to divide the first third of it up into looking at this part of the handout, and the last part is going to be going after what was written in the book. Because what is written in the book is very technical, maybe even a little bit sterile to some degree, and I want to give you the insights that I had when I was writing it, not just so that you have the technicality of what's in the book. So, let's go ahead and jump right in here. In the first part of the handout, you're going to have the first 13 pages broken out for you, what we're going to skim through. The part that we really want to get to and the part we're going to finish on is the Gnostic I will of the progenitor in Isaiah 14, 12 through 14, which is on page 13. So, not to give you a combat theory class, but it is important to know your enemy. Satan is exposed all throughout Scripture by the Lord because he wants us to know the enemy. He wants you to know the enemy so that you can resist and fight effectively with the tools that he supplies, not anything that you have available to you outside of that. So, in combat theory, there's three ways that you take out your opponent. If a man can't breathe, he can't fight. You can physically take him out that way. You can destroy his heart, take away his will, so that he does not want to fight. Or you can destroy his mind, so that he doesn't have the ability to fight. Throw them off their game. Take away their tools. Don't think that Satan doesn't know this. Don't think that he doesn't look at us that same way. These are the tests and trials that he brings into our life, which pull us out of the Christian fight and make us ineffective in our local assemblies. So, let us skim these 13 pages together, brothers and sisters. We're going to look at that psychology of Satan. We're going to look at that progenitor. He is the one who created Gnosticism. Why did he create it? Why does he still use it against us? How can we recognize it? How can we defend against it? So if I repeat anything that was said, I wasn't here for the first two sessions, so that just means we need to hear it. Yep. All right. Important points on this. The creator, and we're on page two here in the introduction, the creator of heaven and earth made all things therein for himself, including the hosts of angels, of which Satan was one. Man was made in the image and likeness of God with the expectancy that he should show that forth throughout creation. I wonder if you ever thought that that's our responsibility. The Lord is pleased when we realize and respond in obedience to the fact that he worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. The purpose of mankind, his reason, his meaning in this life is to embrace and enact the purpose of God, as we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. And then finally, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. I came in at the end of Pastor Blair's, fear God.
Amen.
Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Now, created man, I'm going to skip through this, so keep up with me. I'm going down to the next section. Created man is an imperfect being who sins, needs to seek repentance before a holy God for the penalty of sin, which is the lake of fire. Repentance coupled with faith is the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ and will change sinful man's destination from hellfire to heavenly.
Amen.
It's important to get that out of the way first and foremost.
Amen.
Salvation message has to be in every message here. This is no different. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have no defense against Satan.
Sure.
You got none. You've lost already. It's not that if you step into the ring, you'll get dragged in and you'll be defeated every single time. So, Paul vouches to the Ephesian church that the wiles, and that word is methodia, or methods, he has a carefully planned and calculated system to take us out. He's been doing it since the garden. It's worked since the garden. He hasn't changed it since the garden. So if you know that, you can start recognizing when those little seeds and little steps are getting put in your life and go, ha-ha, Satan, I know what that is. I know what that is. And let me say this before I forget. Who's your number one adversary? It's not who you think.
Yourself.
Do that. Satan is your second most powerful adversary. You bring the stuff into your own life. I bring the stuff into my own life as well by our choices. So don't just think and blame Satan, because if you're going against Satan, you may not get victory in that fight. You could be your own worst problem in that case.
Yeah.
Okay. Recognize the source. Yeah. Recognize the enemy and who it is. Sometimes it's easy to blame Satan, because your own pride won't let you point the fingers at yourself. That mirror is a good thing in the morning. Don't let it just be a physical mirror. Let it be a spiritual mirror, reflecting yourself. Be honest with yourself. We'll skip the rest of the first page, because I just kind of covered that. Let's go to the second paragraph on page 3. Since its satanic inception, Gnosticism has been the downfall and eternally damning direction of many movements, philosophies, ideologies, and doctrines. Entire systems and isms have at their core or peripheries enough of this damnable leaven to poison the whole. So let me ask you, if you're involved in Project 1, Hobby 2, something at work number 3, and there's just a little bit of this in it, do you think it's okay to continue? I say you spot that little bit of leaven and you cut it off right there. I'm not strong enough to resist this stuff, and I'm not smarter than Satan.
Right.
I don't know what he's injecting into my life and when and where he isn't, unless the Lord shows it to me, but I sure know enough how to run. All right? I spent over half of my life, and I thank the Lord, because this is an answer to prayer anytime I get to teach against this heresy, training men, training women, in full contact martial arts and in Oriental medicine. And when I got saved and realized the error of that, the very first prayer that came to my mind was, Lord, if you can use any of this to glorify yourself and to change, help me make up for what I've done, please do so. Today's an answer to that prayer, another answer to that prayer, all right? I used to train my students, and we were full contact students. I mean, you went into that ring, and only one person got up. It wasn't like martial arts of today with point fighting, and even the mixed martial arts that you see on TV, that's nowhere near as brutal as what we did. Martial means war. Martial means someone's not coming out of this. Most people today do civil arts, they don't do martial arts. Okay, this was brutal. And I would train my students to run. Don't get in the fight. That's the number one thing you can do. The best way to not be involved in anything is don't initiate it, number one. And number two, make yourself the lowest target in the victim pool. Someone's gonna get victimized. Someone's going to get victimized. There's sin out there. There's wicked people. There's Satan. There's other men with problems with their flesh. But if you're the least attractive target, it won't be you. So if you're ready to run at any minute, you automatically pull yourself out of a victim pool. You automatically avoid the fight. Well, when those little things creep in your isms and stuff at work, no, sir. No, sir. We had my company is quite a bit Indian-based, and we had a new AVP come in, and he decided that he was going to institute meditation. He would lead monthly meditations for the entire group to help center us, to help us become more balanced, and it was a mandatory meeting. And when I didn't show up, what's going on, Jeff? Why aren't you here? And you can't explain this to them. Right? This to them is normalized.
Yeah.
This is just something, and if you, how many people here are in the industry? How many people work in, like, in a business somewhere or have? Just curious. So you probably see this all the time, mindfulness, right? Just meditation, take a breath away from your desk, this kind of thing. We'll get into that more in the second section, but run from this stuff. Just run. Why be in the fight if there's even a chance you can lose? You could be taken out of the cause for Christ. Just run from it. Now, going on to the third paragraph, Satan is a created being, chose, and this is critical to understand this point, chose not to find his purpose in what the Lord had for him. He rejected the Lord's purpose. He did not desire the good pleasure of the Lord. He had no fear or reverence for his Creator to arrest his downward spiral into sin. Instead, he sought to be more than he was created to be. How many of us want things in life that God doesn't intend for us to have? And we will fight tooth and nail to get there and wonder why we keep failing and keep failing and it doesn't manifest. And you ever think that the Lord's saying no?
Right.
That he knows things that you don't know?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He sought to be more than he was created to be. Indeed, to be God himself. Got to give it to Satan. He aims high. He decided to change the divine narrative for his life. His perfect fear and submission were replaced by the iniquity then found in him, as Ezekiel 28:15 tells us. This is important here too. This is the Lord saying, know your enemy. Scripture exposes the character of this sin given birth by the self-deception and hubris. Is that in our, that describe us? Self-deception and hubris found within Satan. In the book of John, Jesus is excoriating the Pharisees who are attempting to tempt him to sin. He contrasts the will of his heavenly Father with theirs. When they attempt to claim Abraham as their father, the Lord exposes their parentage. This is a well-known verse, but pay attention to this. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. John 8:44. We'll get to, footnote 6 is on the other page. Flip to page 4. Jesus expounds that it was the sin of Satan that made him a murderer from the beginning. He was incapable of standing in the truth because there is no truth in him. Within Satan, there is no truth. He is only able to speak of what he knows and what he is. I'm up here speaking on this topic because it's what I know. It's what I was. It's what I did. Look at footnote 6. When he quote-unquote speaketh of his own, Scripture uses the adjective. I see a lot of our Greek students in here today, so this is for you. All right, he uses the Greek adjective in the genitive neuter plural state. The genitive state speaks of Satan's ownership of the neuter plural things which are within him. This is really fascinating. This affirms that when Satan speaks, he's revealing what is within, that he's incapable of speaking anything but the falsehood and literally is lies. When he speaks lies, he speaks of his own nature. He is actually lie and deceit personified.
Right.
That's what comes out of him because that's what he is.
Yeah, that's good.
The same way as Christians, what are people supposed to see in us? What's supposed to shine out of us? Not Satan. All right. I think we can skip Gnosticism. Well, no, we can't, actually, because it's incumbent to what I'm going to teach. Go to Gnosticism defined. Gnosticism teaches that gnosis, or specific knowledge, is the key to the ascendancy to divinity. Let me say that again. Gnosis, or specific knowledge, is the key to the ascendancy to divinity. This philosophy also requires that man be in a descended state from that which they desire to attain to, namely deity. You know, Satan wants to try to convince you that at one point you were deity. Isn't that kind of appealing? Oh, there's a little God in me somewhere? Okay, that sounds pretty cool. Let me hear more about that. That's part of the challenge here. Inherent in the doctrines are the precepts that man once was deity and somehow lost that providence. He is, however, not wholly unsalvageable. Indeed, there remains a spark, and that's the quote-unquote Gnostic technical term, of divinity within that can be ascended once again through reacquiring that lost knowledge as a building block of advancement back up the ladder to acquire misplaced godhood. Now, let's skip down to Gnostic knowledge versus, we're almost out of time in my first third. Final chat, final paragraph. The foremost consideration of this work, and this is the piece that I want you to get a hold of, will be that the gnosis, the knowledge of Gnosticism, is exclusively knowledge pertaining to the divine. Okay? Knowledge pertaining to the divine. Let's go ahead and skip to page 5, very top of page 5. This knowledge is not common or ordinary. Gnostic knowledge is not the same as natural knowledge. Get that term in your head. Gnostic is not the same as natural. Okay? It is not knowing how to perform CPR or provide basic medical assistance in emergencies. It is not encompassed knowing how to create and maintain compost piles to recycle organic waste into nutrient-rich soil for gardening. Yes, I spent time in Pennsylvania last week. This mundane and natural understanding falls short of the salvific or saving knowledge or gnosis in content. The gnosis of Gnosticism is not mere facts or information that somebody knows. It is not theoretical or practical understanding of a subject. It is a familiarity and awareness which is experimental and transcendent, which means moving from place to place, moving the recipient beyond the limits of ordinary experience to that of the divine. So, Satan is putting forth, and Gnosticism puts forth, that there's special knowledge out there that you can get, which will move you closer back to being what you were before, what you've lost. And you have to work to get this. You have to grab these small little pieces of special knowledge to do all that. Okay? The subjects today that all these men are covering are talking about this very specific thing. Now, I'm going to sum up the whole next page very quickly. There's three kinds of knowledge that I bring out here. At the bottom of page 5, there's factual knowledge. Okay? Brother Bill is sitting in the front row. It's fact. You can't argue it. It's true. He's right there. All right? Flip to page 6. Eido is absolute knowledge. It's the kind of knowledge you get because the Bible tells you something true. You can have complete confidence in it. But then we have our gnosko. And the Greek, I love Greek because it's so precise. It's so exacting that you really can't make a mistake when you use it, which is nice. I am going to read this Greek section for you on gnosko. Gnosko is knowledge acquired through experience, through experience, through experience. Yes, I'm repeating that on purpose. It is something one comes to know by perceiving, feeling, or going through an event. It is personal and intimate, a coming to know something because of that experience. It is used of the beautiful marital union of Joseph and Mary, whereby Joseph did not know gnosko. He had no experience of the intimacy with his wife until after she had brought forth her firstborn. The Lord Jesus in Matthew 1:23-25 and Luke 1:34. The Lord rebukes the pastor of the church at Thyatira for allowing a woman to teach and seduce his servants to idolatry, promising that he will kill her children with death, so that then all the churches will know that he sees inner man and judges according to their works. I wouldn't want that experience. That would be horrific, but that's a very powerful message right there. And then in 1 Corinthians, Paul's instructing on the marital relationship between the husband and wife, revealing his authority to do so is by permission, sunome, and not of pastoral or not of apostolic authority. Footnote 11 is kind of important. We'll touch on that. So Paul is saying the context is marriage, and he says that I'm not talking to you as an apostle. I'm talking to you as a man who has firsthand experience with marriage. This form of gnosko is found only here as a formative hapax legomena, a compound of soon, with, and gnosko, knowledge, and is literally translated with or by experience. Paul is stating that he is not utilizing his apostolic authority to command, though he could. He is telling his audience that he is speaking with, by, or of the experiences he has had as a husband with a wife. The precision of the Greek, once and for all, settles the question as to if Paul was a married man. Yeah. Why did I go through all that? Because this gnosko, this experiential knowledge, is what Satan is trying to get us to have so that we progress, hopefully as other people have taught today, up through the pleroma, to reascend. You have to be involved. You have to commit. You have to give part of yourself over to this, and then he's got you. Mm-hmm. All right? Skip page 7. That's for your enjoyment and reading later. Skip page 8, that's Christ is the true pleroma. That's more for your enjoyment later. Fullness versus filling, more for your enjoyment for later. Page 11. I'm going to cover page 11 very quickly. The believer is given multiple forms of power. 5 different types. You get the authority from the Great Commission, the ecclesia, and then you get all the other 4 that are mentioned in Ephesians 1:19. So you can go and study that for yourself. But all the power that we're supposed to have comes from God. We should not be seeking external power, which is what you'll see martial arts and oriental medicine specifically does. Right there, it's wrong. Right there, it's done. You're seeking power outside of what you've been given. It's that little hook, that little bit in the ism, which is going, just come over here and just peek. It's that little taste. Now, we're going to skip the Gnostic, ye shall not. You guys have, ladies, you know this. You know how Satan first established Gnosticism way back in Genesis. But the part that I need to nail here real quick is page 13. We're going to cover will and desire, the process of sin. The process of sin is you see something, you desire that something, and then you go and get that something. Now, I've taught this several times in my Sunday school class when I get a chance to teach in our church. If you want something bad enough, whether it's in the faith or whether it's in the flesh, nobody and nothing is stopping you from getting it, and you know that's true. The key is not to desire the things which we're not supposed to be desiring.
Right.
And the only way that happens is if you're so full of the Spirit, you don't look to begin with.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
You stay away from those things which can pull you off the path. So, we'll skip past that part now because I just covered it. But here's the part I want to stop focus in on. The Gnostic I wills of the progenitor. Let's read this, which is the bottom of page 13. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation, the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. This is a psychology lesson from the Lord on the psychology of Satan. He's exposing him, his thoughts, his heart, his mind, his desire, everything about him. You want to know your enemy? This is one. These are several verses that you have to know, absolutely must know. The Lord declares the fallen state of Satan is the result of him embracing his own lies, as we talked about earlier, and rejecting the Lord. He had no choice but to reject the Lord. In order to believe his own lies, he had to come up with something, and that means it can't be the Lord. Of course he's going to become his own God. That's the only thing that would make sense. He needs to be equal or superior to that which he is rejecting and challenging. The heavenly commentary looks inside his heart and reveals the Gnostic seeds of rebellion which have come forth full bloom. The Lord exposes the heart conditions and context of the first 3 I wills. Now, we're going to skip through this too, but flip over to the next page. Try to keep it open so you can see 14 and 15 at the same time. And let's dig into this. We'll spend our last couple minutes here. I will ascend into heaven. This is the Lord commenting on the fall of Satan because of sin. Everybody there? All right. Pages are all done flipping. Good. Where Satan, he declares his ascent back into heaven. Do you really think if the Lord punted you out, you're going to be able to get back in? Satan does. Whoa. Just think about that for a minute. The Lord says, no, and you, I don't think so. I'll take care of this. Look at what's going on in his heart right here. Look at the hubris of all of this. In his first ascension, he declares he will pick himself up from his fallen state and rise to the heaven and challenge the state assigned to him by the Lord. And he's affirming he will elevate himself positionally. There's a couple elevations we're going to look at. A positional elevation, but then one in power and authority. Direct challenges. Okay, 3 of the I wills are positional. You're not, think of it this way. You're not, the man's not keeping me down. I will ascend back to where I used to be. But then it's like, even more so than that, I'm going to challenge you directly, Lord. 3 of them are position and 2 are within power. I will exalt, the second one, my throne above the stars of God. Now don't forget, God called him light bearer, right? I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. The Lord is commenting on the position of Satan as part of the heavenly host. This is the explanation of the second I will. As to the desire of Satan to put himself above the angelic realm in authority as God. I thought all angels are on the same level. How is he going to get up here above all of them? It's a power move. It's a power move. Think of what he's saying to the Lord. Think of what, this is part of his, this is part of the philosophy and psychology behind his Gnostic practices. Why did Gnosticism come about? Because this was in his heart. This was in his mind. I will also sit upon the mount of the congregation, the sides of the north. The Lord then speaks of his earthly atrocities, how he wore down the nations who were meant to worship the Lord, so that their worship was discomfited and far removed from its proper fervor. In the third I will, Satan declares he will sit within the place of worship and receive that which he believes was due to him the entire time. If you read footnote 33, all the sacrifices were performed in very specific locations. It's interesting that he chose the sides of the north. Number four, in his fourth I will, and second ascension, he directly challenges the Lord, stating he will grow his power and authority beyond what was assigned to him by God. And finally, this is the one which hit me the hardest, in his fifth and final I will, he states by his own power and ability, he will make himself equal to God. He believes his self-created, self-glorifying, self-aggrandizing, and this is the heart of Gnosticism, delusion, that he will complete his pleromic ascension through a Gnostic re-realization of what he always was. He opines he has the power to do this all along within himself. It just needs to be re-realized and reactivated to see the deed done. Read page 13 when you can. At your leisure, it is incredibly damning to Satan. So, I will be like the Most High. The Hebrew behind that means, it's something else. Do you remember the verse where it says, Peter warmed his hands by the fire? Remember that verse in Scripture? There's something in the Greek called a middle voice, which all it really means is somebody was going to do something, they did it because they're the only ones that could do it, and they got the benefit of doing that. It's not like John was going to come over and go, hey, Peter, I think your hands are cold. What? Let me put them over the fire for you. That's never going to happen. Well, this is as close as it gets in the Hebrew to that same thing. Satan is actually saying, I, myself, and the power that I currently have, it's enough to make myself equal with God. That's the heart of every martial artist. An Oriental medical practitioner, or they wouldn't be at the level they're at. If you have your book, go ahead and pop it open. If you don't, that's okay. I will read for you. 239. And we'll skim through a lot of this too. Within Oriental medicine, within martial arts, there is a series. There's almost like an invisible energy body which exists within living beings. So this is the part where, you know, if I didn't do the first part of this, you'd be like, this is Jeff up here just talking about fishing. I could believe it, I could not believe it. What I want you to do is tie in the Gnostic psychology of Satan, and I'd like you to see it over here in what we're about to talk about next. And once you see how this permeates everything, it's something. It's something. I'm gonna bring up Bob, not this one. And he's called Bob because when my students would see this, they say, boy, oh boy, that's a lot to learn. Okay? This is easier than me trying to explain it to you. Now, you might look at this and go, oh yeah, those are nerves. Those are blood vessels. Those are something we already understand. This is the invisible pathway of all the meridians and energy that flow throughout the body, including something which you may or may not have heard out, which are called pressure points. Military, police officers are trained to use pressure points in the wrist, all of this kind of thing. This is much easier than me try to explain it to you, okay? You got a visual, this is what we're talking about. When a martial artist, an Oriental medicine practitioner looks at you, this is what they see. This is the invisible energy body. The energy which flows through all of this is something called chi. 20 years ago, people had no idea what this was. Nowadays, I'd be curious how many people have heard the word chi or know what it is. Wow, look at all those hands going up. It's in just about everything that we do. And once I start naming things, you'll go, oh, That's this? That's this? Really? Wow. Didn't know that. So, qi is the energy which exists, and qi gong, gong means work or energy or cultivation, is the practice of recognizing this qi, harnessing this qi, utilizing it. But you know what? I don't see any of this ever written about in scripture. Show me one verse. When I was closing down my studio and my martial arts practice, my students and my patients were like searching the Bible, trying to find a verse so that I wouldn't shut it down. The closest they got was when Lord Jesus Christ touched a man's hip. He goes, look, that's pressure point so-and-so. He's paralyzing him. No, sorry. I've been convicted. I've been saved. I'm closing it all down. This is not good. But anyway, I'm going to skip to this first part. So page 239. Qigong is basically the exercise of utilizing this for harming or for healing. Now, in both cases, does this give you power and authority over another human being? It does. It does. What does your ego do when that happens? Right? Hubris. Start to get a little bit more like this. Now, keep in mind, Satan's inner psychology is his will. I will be this. I will become that. Why? Because I already am. I just need to refine that little thing which is going to kick me up to the next level. All of this is a progression of the same thing. We don't need to go through the history of Qigong on page 240 and 241. You can read that for yourself. 242, 243. Let's see here. We can skip all that. This is just the history behind it. Let's go to 245. Let's get to some of the isms. Some of the isms that benefit / don't benefit from this. Pastor Blair, did I hear you teaching on philosophies when I came in, right? All of these are just philosophies. A philosophy of practice based on belief. But notice I said the word practice. You don't just show up, you get involved. Okay? Let's go to Buddhism, the middle of page 245. These are terms that most of you have probably heard. You may not have experience with them, but they underlie a lot of isms in our society, in our culture. Buddhism believes the way to nirvana, or an enlightened deific state, does that sound a little bit like Gnosticism? Is through the pleromic process of blowing out or quenching the three fires of greed, aversion, and ignorance. If I can get rid of these, well, I become more like God, don't I? Because God doesn't have these. God isn't like this. So if I can get to that point, we'll never, you and I know from scripture, we'll never get to that point. You're always going to be covetous of something. There's never been a time in my life when I hadn't repented of that sin at some point. It's never going to go away until the second coming, and God takes that out of our minds. It rejects the idea of individual immortality, which is interesting. It accepts the principles of impermanence and no self. Buddhists do not believe in the existence of an eternal soul. Instead, Buddhist teachings view life and death as a continuum, with the consciousness continuing after death and potentially leading to rebirth. This is, in effect, immortality by way of a continuance. So you don't ever actually die and go and be with the Lord. You just move on to your next state of being, your next state of being, your next state of being. Is there any penalty for sin there? You might as well just do whatever you want, because it doesn't matter. You're just going to move on to your next existence. See the cleverness of that? No accountability in your life. No responsibility. In Hinduism, Brahman is supreme, eternal, and an unchanging spirit that is an ultimate reality and essence of all existence. It is also known as a god and the divine consciousness. Hindus believe that Brahman is present throughout the universe, their term, not mine, Dr. Strauss, and that all living beings have a part of Brahman within them called the Atman, and the Atman can refer to the body, mind, or soul, but usually indicates that a soul is reborn. Notice that, not the body, but the soul is reborn. And the qualities and powers of Brahman may be represented by a variety of gods and deities that emanate from Brahman. I don't know, it was taught earlier, but emanations are what pleroma comes from. The half-earth, the demiurge, the half-maker, emanated all the aeons and all the other sub-creatures, including supposedly man that came from him. Taoists, which is a lot of the basis for what I studied, believe that the spirit of the, and I never got hooked up into the philosophy of this, which is, I'm thankful for. Never bought into any of it, never practiced it. I just stripped from it what I needed to knock people out. basically. They practice a variety of guidelines to achieve immortality, including Qigong, what we're talking about, internal and external alchemy, moving all of the energies within, and alchemy is combining to make different effects, both healing and harming, with the goal of, let's see here, the attainment of immortality through a total changing or challenging of energies to reach harmony with the Tao, the universal, the Pleroma. Okay? Yoga. This is all over, everywhere. It's in middle schools, it's in high schools, it's in, I mean, is it in kindergarten yet? I don't even know. But it's everywhere. I hear about it everywhere. Yoga is a philosophy and has two main approaches to immortality. You heard that right. Two main approaches to immortality. Don't just read the cover of what they're selling you. Go read the book. You're responsible for doing your own research on this to figure out what you're exposing yourself and your children to. Involves following the rules of nature, practicing higher yoga techniques, and developing rejuvenation and longevity techniques. It also includes approaches for reintegrating and disintegrating body molecules at will. Oh, here's a problem area. Let's disintegrate that. The second is identifying with the aspect of ourselves that remains unaffected by death. This approach involves learning techniques for penetrating the different layers of our being and reaching the transcendental realm of consciousness. That may sound familiar to some of you. You may have heard that about yoga. It conveys the message that life will continue in others, sustained by consciousness, even if the body itself perishes. This is because what we think of as me is an imagined persona used to function in this world, so there's no one really to die. You just move on to the next me. Now, I want to take a minute to talk about this. Years ago, I had a pastor, someone I call friend, come to me and tell me a story which broke my heart when I heard it. He had one of his sheep had a debilitating condition. Don't necessarily need to go into all the details, but was incapable of even functioning as a normal human being. And he discovered yoga. And when Western medicine failed him, yoga restored him. And my friend said, "This is wrong. This isn't biblical. You can't do this." But did not have the knowledge of how and why it was wrong, just knew it was. So the spirit said wrong. Counseled him against it. Pursued it anyway. And it eventually led to him leaving the church and then leaving his family. And he became a yoga master, embraced all of this, and he, like Satan, his will was to be more than he used to be, more than a church member, more than a husband, more than a father. Great. He's a yoga master. Great. That's not unto Christ. That's running the opposite way. But once that hook gets in there,
yeah,
right? Now, I'll say this at this point. Desire or desperation does not trump doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
Period. It doesn't matter how desperate you are. It doesn't matter what you're going through. This
doesn't change.
Amen. Amen.
If you flip to, we can skip over Shintoism, scientific evidence for qi. One of the things back in the day when I was very much involved in this was, what is this qi stuff? Is it real? Is it not real? You can't see it. You can't feel it. And it was pretty easy in the martial realm. It was like, step up. Let me show you. Oh, you're unconscious now. And now that you're up, do you want to see it again? Oh, you're unconscious again. Okay, that's pretty easy to prove. And in the medical realm, problems just disappear. And in this kind of field, we don't care why. This isn't about, it wasn't about cataloging and Western medicine, putting, crossing all the T's and doing the I's. But since then, many, many, many tests have been done to prove the existence of qi that Western medicine would accept. So I want to just direct you to one of them here. Let's see which one it is. It's fascinating if you read through the section. It's very dry, but when you read through it, it's pretty impressive. I was very encouraged because one of my friends said, "Man, I got to slow down and really read this." But then he came back and he gave me a thesis statement of all five of these. And he got it. He nailed every one of them. Let's go to page 256. Top of page 256, number 4. Detectors using living sensors. Zhongsheng University of Medicine utilized... Oh, we haven't talked about five-element theory yet, have we? Five-element qigong, it's a type of qigong. We may or may not have time to get to that. To test the inhibitory rate, inhibitory, stopping, okay? And inhibits, it stops. Inhibitory rate of external qi transmission as an anti-cancer therapy. Once you harness all the qi in your body, you can then emit it from your body to other people in healing and in harmony. This was taking a qigong master, emitting his qi into cancer cells. Okay, follow through with me on this. Using mice as the recipients of a cancer cells, three experiments resulted in all similar results. 70.3 to 78.7 inhibition. Cancer stopped. Couldn't grow anymore. The results were seen to significantly reduce the growth of, and there's a big long word if you want to go look it up, the type of cancer it was, with a significantly reduced cell volume of cancer cells. So, some of you know my testimony, know that I was diagnosed with stage 4 terminal cancer, given 2 months to live. I'm also a former Qigong master. Do you think the temptation was great to go back
right.
and take that up again?
Right.
Not at all. Not at all. I knew that there was a potential that I could stop the growth of that cancer. And I said, no, sir, Lord, you saved me. Amen. This is not unto Christ, and I am not following that. This stuff is powerful, and it works. But again, I don't see it anywhere in Scripture. I don't see it anywhere in here. We're not supposed to be touching it. We're not supposed to be using it. Desperation does not trump doctrine. You can get up here and say it all you want, but if you don't walk it, you better shut up and not say it. Okay? That's not me. That's the only way I did that is because of the Lord. He saved me from this originally. He gave me the strength to walk. He didn't give me the strength. He did it. I want it done. I want it done because of what I saw, what it was doing. Okay? But I don't want you to get caught in any of that. Let's skip down to page, go to this guy, page 17. It's hard to believe we're almost out of time already. And I'm going to go off the cuff rather than reading everything for you. There's more stuff in the book you can read, but I want to use it for last time. Basically, let's recap what we've done so far. Okay? This is what I used to do with my students. We did not go train and compete in tournaments because we were not necessarily after trophies. That's not combat. That's just getting trophies and getting stuff. But I also ran this as a business, and it needed to put food on the table. So yeah, you had to get some trophies. That's how people go, oh, go to this school, go over here. So we competed in tournaments. And we would show up to, it's great if you know your enemy, because you can defeat them before you ever get in the ring. Okay? We would go to tournaments, and we would sit in the crowds. And we wouldn't have any uniforms or anything. And we'd go, oh, that's who you're fighting. That's who you're fighting. That's who you're fighting. They've got a weak left ankle right there. Look at that. Come at them from this side. Oh, look at this. They always said, we'd have all their weaknesses memorized before we ever got into the ring with them. And we would exploit them every single time. And this isn't bragging. This is to show you how powerful this is. I was invited to a WTF, a certain kind of Taekwondo tournament, national tournament. I was being scouted, and they wanted to judge me by my students. And we brought several students. We competed in 17 events, and out of the 17 events, we took home all golds and one silver. And then we were invited never to come back again. Because we embarrassed all the grandmasters there. We just destroyed all their students. Because they're doing point fighting. You can't stand up against a true combatant if you're not in the same ring, basically. It is something which will work on the martial side and on the medical side. The 10 minutes. I'm going to train you the way that I train them, basically. I'll attempt to. In order to know your enemy, you have to know how they set up their attack patterns, how they set up their defense patterns. We've got God himself giving us the psychology of Satan. You know his tenets. If he thinks those things about himself, he's going to convince you those same things about yourself. You know what? You can be more than you are. You should be more. You know what? You are more than you are. You believe it. You go forth. You claim it. Does that sound familiar? In the business world, if you believe it and claim it, it will be yours.
Sure.
Right? And you know what? Don't you dare stop anybody else from claiming what's theirs either. They have a right to that too because they're a deity in their own right. And don't let them stop you. Everybody's okay just the way they are. Once you understand the attacks and how they're coming in, you can see them, you can recognize them. That's the next step here. So let's go to the bottom of page 17. We've got a couple, several nurses in the audience. You guys ever heard of hypnobirthing? Anyone ever seen that yet? Hartford Hospital does it. That's right, I'm shaking his head over here. If you go, I did this a couple times and I got so discouraged. Go and look at what hospitals offer. Go on their webpage, look what they offer, and you'll see this in every other thing that they offer. Okay? This kind of using the energy within your body to help promote healing. Now, I'll tell you what, Eastern and Western medicine combined, there's nothing more powerful. But still, we're not supposed to be using it. How many people have heard of yin-yang? All right? Have you seen the circle with the little black circle and the white circle, right? Well, part of that represents male and female. Have you ever seen it where the black has a little white circle in it and the white has a little black circle in it? Oh, did you know there's a little female in every male? And a little male in every female? Whoa, it's getting confusing. I've been a male my whole life. What are you telling me? There's a little female in me? It's okay. You can embrace that, because if you don't, you're not going to be balanced. Your whole harmony and your energy system will be off. Oh, sure, teach me about my female self. I'll embrace that. Where do you think it came from? It's been around for thousands of years. This stuff has been around for thousands of years. It predates first century. Yin-yang is very, very dangerous. The five element I was telling you about before, and see if this strikes home. Thousands of years of study, and the Chinese, let's say, for example, have recognized that people and the environment seem to fit in one of five elemental categories. Let's just take fire, for example. Fire, because we're at camp. We all love looking at the fire over here. Flickering, unpredictable energy. Do you know anybody like that? Somebody like, I have no idea what he's going to do next, right? Or she's going to do next. That's because they probably have that energy type, and that energy type is specifically linked with the energy in the body and specific organs and specific tendencies. Not that you're going to know whatever this means. My specific type was metal. And guess what metal is related to? Lungs. Guess where my cancer was? Lungs. That's my strength and my weakness at the same time. And in life, a lot of times your strength, greatest strength is your greatest weakness. All of this is designed to mirror and mimic what God already has in place. Do we have anything else in scriptures that tells us that man has maybe one of seven gifts or one of seven qualities, that you act certain ways and do certain things? Remember Bill yelling to tell all the pastors to go get outside for the picture, right? Well, they came close. They got five out of the seven. But it's an imperfect system, just like every system. JEPD, for those of you who are in business, all of it's imperfect. How many people have heard of acupuncture? Stay away. What are they doing? They're activating various pressure points throughout the body. Acupressure, same thing. Aromatherapy, how many people have essential oils at home? Toss them. Those things have been designed and created with chi in them already. Now, we're going to go through our list. I'm going to burn out my last 5 minutes. Meditation and mindfulness. That's not prayer. Because where's your focus? It's not on Christ. And let me throw this out there too, because maybe you found it in scripture or I haven't. I don't believe that a Christian can be possessed. I think when you've got God living inside, he's not looking for an extra roommate. Okay? There's no room.
Amen.
But if you're not saved, you certainly can be. However, Christians can certainly be oppressed because God allows that. Okay? So, show me in Scripture that fine line that says you can do step one, you can do step two, but when you do step three, you're possessed or you're oppressed. I don't see that he gives us any wiggle room. He doesn't give us instructions of, here's the warning line, you can go up to this point. There's nothing in there because we're not even supposed to start on the path. Okay, keep that in mind. If any of this stuff entices or excites you, that is not the purpose of today. It's to stay away from it.
Amen.
Moxibustion, which isn't really a big thing nowadays, I'm going to skip that. How many people have heard of Reiki? That got very popular over the last several years. Okay? Do you know that you can become a Reiki master in a year? In 1 year, you can learn to channel all this and start extending energy out from outside of your body to do all that. Can you master anything in a year? Never mind something which takes a normal person 20? Don't think Satan's not giving you a little help there. Don't think he's not. We don't have time to tie in astrology, but it's in there too. Everyone's heard of auras. People have auras and maybe Krillian photography. Chakras, that's another big thing that's come around. Have you ever heard of those? The energy centers of the body. There's actually some Hebrew words that they stole the name of the chakra from Hebrew words, believe it or not. Yeah, we got a fairly mature audience here. Clouds and rain, this is an important one, it ties in. The saying is there's a qigong for everything. There's a practice for everything because your whole body is made up of energy. I'm going to come back to this in a second. Feng Shui, who's heard of that? Feng Shui, you organize elements in your home to do what? Balance the energy that's coming in and leaving. What? It's inherent in food. There's actually, from the medical side, the food you eat affect the energy in your body. Herbs and herbalism, too. Remember we talked about the will, the intent, Satan's intent? That's very prevalent in this as well. Reflexology, animals have chi in them, plants have chi in them. Cloud and rain, I'm going to leave you with this big one. The art of clouds and rain is a qigong practice whereby, I don't want to be delicate, this is a delicate topic, a man can prevent fertilization of a woman. Okay? It's a qigong where there's sensation without emission. All right? You can imagine my surprise when one of my Jewish students, he was a Jew, graduated, went through his bar mitzvah, and then 6 months after he came to me, took me aside privately, and he goes, how do you know our secret Jewish practices? I said, what are you talking about? He goes, the art of clouds and rain. I was just taught that by the elders. I went, what? See, Satan will teach you all the same things and just repackage them with a different cover. Hey, now I can be immoral and no one can catch me. Do you see? All of this, you have to understand and recognize the traps of all of this. I had a family that we taught a cults class in our seminary, and I had the privilege to teach this, and the husband came, and then the wife came, and they sat through the cults class, and they took their family on a trip through town, and they said, we had to skip every other store because we saw a yin-yang symbol, and then we saw five element stuff, and then we saw this, and then we saw that. We couldn't go in half the stores. That's what I hope this does for you. I hope you get some idea, do some more research, read the rest of this, which we didn't get to cover, and equip yourselves, not just for yourself, the next generation's coming up. And they get hooked into this.
Right.
We didn't have it as bad. They're going to get hooked into everything. Someone's got to give them the truth. Hopefully that's you. 59 minutes, Pastor. Let's pray.
Amen.
Father, we're thankful for the brief amount of time we've had to look at this. We're thankful that we can look at our enemy. We can expose. We basically get a look at his playbook, Lord. Thank you for that. Help us to recognize these traits within ourselves, for those that we have stewardship over. Help us to be able to, for pastors, recognize this in our assembly, to be able to give aid and help to our sheep. Help us to just avoid all those things which are not unto Christ. Well, thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.